Today's topic is perfection of precepts, but before we do that, let's see who is new with us here today. On my left, you've introduced before, right? Have you?
First time coming here.
Ah, okay, tell them who you are. Tell us your name and how you got to know about this group.
I'm Li Hui.
Can they hear you?
No.
Cannot.
I'm Li Hui. Shifu went to NUS Buddhist Society, so I went for that session.
Went there to do what?
Went there to give a talk, a series of talks for Six Perfections. So that one ended. So I hopped over here. Yeah.
Welcome. Who else is here for the first time? Let me see. Okay, we can jump over here. Do I see a family? Yes. Tell us your name. Hello.
My name is Vittorio. I used to go to Guangmingshan, but I haven't been practicing for a while. I was here to actually purchase a game from Bernard.
Oh, purchase a game? What kind of game?
Nintendo Switch. But I had this session here, so I came to see it for a while. Bringing my two kids along.
I see. Hello, two kids. What are your names? What is your name? Tell us your name. Huh? Oh, so shy. Huh?
Older one is Sophia.
Sophia, can I see you? Where's Sophia? Oh, so tall. Wow.
And the second one is Kathleen.
Kathleen? Oh, you are this tall. So quite tall. So how old is Sophia? 6 years old.
No,
8 years old. Oh, big girl already. Where are you working? How about Kathleen? How old are you? 5 years old. Oh. 60 years old. Retired already. Have you gotten your letter from... Where are you working? Welcome, all of you. Welcome. Who else is new here today? Let me see. How about from my left? Yes. Have you introduced yourself before? No, huh? Yes. Tell us how you got to know about this group. Your name first. Was it the Friday? No, the one that we just had, right? Okay. Welcome. So we have one of your senior from NUS also, but he is now in US on the trip. Yeah, usually you see him sitting around here. Yeah, Zhuo Ping. You know Zhuo Ping? No, you've probably seen him before, because he attends, he would hop in on the Paramita series also. Yeah. Welcome. Who else is new here? Let me see. I think everybody is accounted for. Anyone who is here for the first time or second or nth time but has not introduced yourself? Have you introduced yourself before?
Not yet.
Yes. How come? Where is Hao Yi today? Couldn't see him. So introduce yourself. Tell them your name.
Jesse from NUS.
Also from NUS. And how do you get to know about this group? From Hao Yi. Okay. Very good. Welcome. So soon we can have a NUS wing. So welcome to SGC, where we have short puja, short meditation, and not so short dharma sharing. Today's topic is on the perfection of precepts. But as you all know, we precepts is one of the threefold practice. Yeah, do you all know about the threefold practice? San Xue. Threefold practice. San Xue. So precepts is also known as Jie. In Pali, Sanskrit is Sila. And San Xue, the threefold practice is Jie, Ding, and Hui. So we have Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. So precepts is oftentimes looked upon as a set of rules. Yeah, and rightly so, because a huge part of it is about a set of rules. But rules being rules, oftentimes we think of them in terms of things that you can do and things that you cannot do. Yeah, so that they are looked upon more as restrictions than anything. Yeah, so I shared in the almost like a joke. Yeah, in the past 10 over years, many students have approached me when we learn about taking refuge and observing the five precepts. The five precepts being the one that you recited earlier, starting with Panatipata, Viramani, Sikapadam, Samadhiami, and ending with the Sura, Miraya, Maja, Pamadatana, yeah, and so on. Yeah, starting with the abstinence from killing and down to abstinence from alcohol and intoxicants. Yeah. So some students have approached me and they shared they are quite ready to be Buddhist, yeah, to formally take refuge. But they are not so ready to take precepts. Yeah. So I asked them, you know, why do you say so? So they say they're not ready. They need one more year. So I told them, if you look at the five precepts, abstaining from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, and taking of alcohol, the first four are fundamentally harmful. The first four is about harming others. The fifth one is about not wanting to have clarity of mind. So by saying that you're not ready to observe the precepts, you're saying, I need one more year. I still want to harm people for one more year. But of course, if we think about it, who consciously think in that way? Isn't it? I hope not. Anyone? Is there anyone here who still want to consciously harm people? Most of us, you know, on a normal day, we don't think about harming people. Yeah? But on some special days. Special days. Yeah? With Chinese have a saying, 你做初一, 我做十五. Have you heard of it? Yes. First and the 15th are the special days in the lunar calendar for Chinese. Yeah. In the Buddhist tradition, it is loosely close to the 2 days of Uposatha. Yeah. There's also the 6 days and the 8 days Uposatha, or 10 days. So, that saying that I just quoted, it's not about precepts. It's about taking revenge. So saying that if you harm me on one day, you wait. I wait for another special day. When is the special day when we harm people? I mean, we don't really, you know, wake up every day thinking to harm people, isn't it? So when are the special days we want to harm people? Do we put it in our calendar? Do we plan ahead? Book in advance. If you do that, I think quite sad. But conversely, do you plan ahead when you want to go and benefit people? Sometimes we do. Like yesterday, a bunch of us, we went down to the Handicapped Welfare Association to help fold envelopes. Yeah, we plan ahead. Yeah, we have to plan ahead because they need to prepare to receive us. Yeah. And yesterday we spent the morning from 9-ish, about 9, just shy of 9. And then we went all the way until 12:20 something. The staff there had to chase us away. Yeah, we wanted to finish as much as we can. And then they came a few times. The RJ, the staff in charge, came over and very politely say, Venerable, would you like to take a break and stop, then we can take a group photo? And I said, oh, it's okay, we still haven't finished. Then he, oh, okay. Then he walked off. Then after a while, and I think that was almost 12 already, because they have another event after that in the afternoon. And then after that, he came back again, and the whole bunch of us, everybody was so focused, becoming quite good at it. And then he came again. This time around, he has to really, you know, get across the point. And he told me, Venerable, we really need to pack up now. Then I said, oh, is it? I thought it was still 11 plus. Then I looked, oh, 12:20 something. Yeah. So I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad that we do plan. We do plan ahead, yeah, to go and benefit people. But then, since we don't plan to go and harm people, why do we still have to observe precepts? It's because although we don't consciously plan to harm people, but sometimes, given the right conditions, even though we don't plan, we can do quite well as well in harming people. Yeah, maybe not to the extent of killing people, maybe not atrocities. Yeah, but we may in that state, yeah, of confusion, of agitation, we may say things, we may do things, or we may plan in our mind, yeah, having unwholesome thoughts to harm others. Yeah. So observance of precepts is to make a commitment. Yeah. In a way, observing precepts is like how we create an event and then we say, okay, let's plan to go and benefit people. Except that when you observe precepts, it is not a one-time thing. Yeah, some precepts you observe in a way one time, like 8 precepts. When you observe 8 precepts, it's one time. One time for the day and night, and the next day, at the break of dawn, it expires. And in future, if you wish to do that again, you observe again. In that case, why is it just one day, one night? Because it is of a higher order. Higher order of practice. It is the level of practice. The 8 precepts is the level of practice that is akin to that of an enlightened one. Yeah, the Buddha described that enlightened ones quite naturally, yeah, live their life not harming others, not killing others. Quite naturally live their life not taking what is not given, and so on. Yeah, observing the full 8 precepts effortlessly. For us, maybe sometimes we happen to act that way, yeah. But we don't want it to be left to chance, yeah. We want our body, speech, and mind to be wholesome. In a decide, and then we look for a teacher, a venerable, to administer the precepts, and then we devote that whole day to live like an enlightened being, yeah. Even though we are not enlightened, we emulate the body, speech, and mind of that. Of an enlightened one. So when we observe the 5 precepts, yeah, to abstain from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct and lying, and then also the abstinence from alcohol and intoxicants, that is not for one day, one night. Usually it is for a lifelong practice. Yeah. So if you recall the verse that we recite earlier, yeah, it all ends with Viramani Sikapadam Samadhiyami. No qualifier to talk about the duration, number one. Yeah, so no time span, no specific dates, it's not saying, oh, I observe this precept only from 2 to 3 p.m. I observe only from 9 to 5 p.m. office hours. I'm an office hour precept observer. After office hour, you come and look at me, look for me, you good luck to you. No. Yeah. Or maybe Because, Sifu, when I go to office, I must put on my better gear so I cannot observe precepts. So I observe my precepts only after office hours. Yeah, after 6 o'clock until the next morning, 8 a.m. Yeah, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., I don't observe precepts because when I go to office, I must fight with people. I must harm them. Yeah, when I see my customer, I must lie so that I can get the deals. Yeah, I must be ruthless. I must do whatever it takes. Do we observe precepts this way? No, fortunately not. Yeah. Now, it can be quite challenging. Yeah. So, today's sharing, we've covered quite a bit. But there's one part of precepts that I want to highlight, which is the motivation for it. Yeah. We have gone through many times already. Yeah. Some of you may be a bit newer. Yeah. But by and large, the five precepts, fairly straightforward. So while we sometimes may have trouble or have question marks as to the specifics, yeah, exactly what are the subtle nuances regarding the observance of the precepts. Yeah, but there may be other areas that we need to clarify, such as the motivation. Yeah. So usually in precepts classes, we talk about the how to observe the precepts. We talk about the what constitutes breaking the precepts. Today we want to look at why. Yeah, why should you observe precepts? Many times in many classes, we also talk about the why. Yeah, but it's usually talking about the benefits in terms of what we get. Yeah, and I think that deserves some mention also. Yeah, that deserves some mention also. In brief, when we observe precepts, it fulfills part of the condition to be reborn as a human being and higher orders of existence, such as in the heavenly state and higher. Yeah, it forms part of the condition. It's not the only condition, it forms part of the condition. The other part of condition being the mental faculties. Okay? This whole set is described under the 10 wholesome deeds. So in the Chinese Mahayana tradition, we often coin in this phrase, 五戒十善, the 5 precepts and the 10 wholesome deeds. If you look at the 10 wholesome deeds, it includes the 5 precepts. Yeah. And expands on the 4th precepts. The 4th precept, abstaining from lying, is further expanded to cover right speech. So if you look at the 10 wholesome deeds, yeah, the first 3 is on bodily actions, abstaining from killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct. The next 4, yeah, is on verbal conduct. So 3 bodily, 4 verbal, and 3 mental. What are the 4 verbal? The first one is what we are familiar with, the precept on lying. Yeah. The next 3 is abstaining from harsh speech, divisive speech, and idle chatter. Yeah. Abstinence from speech that is not constructive, speech that is harmful, speech that is not conducive towards enlightenment, to abstain from that. And by abstaining, then you engage in speech that is wholesome, that is constructive, that is conducive towards enlightenment. Yeah. But that itself doesn't just make you enlightened. It makes it more conducive and also fulfills the supporting factor for rebirth as a human or in the heavenly state. But just doing that is not sufficient. That's why I say it's part of the condition. The last 3 is also crucial. The last 3 are the mental states. Mental states. So the 3 correlate with greed, hatred, delusion, but it's not greed, hatred, delusion. The first one, covetousness, that means to have greed is one thing. Yeah, we are not enlightened, so tendency for greed to arise is there. Potential greed is in us. Yeah, in us, that means having the condition. Doesn't mean it's inherent. But when it arises and we act upon it, yeah, when we say we act upon it, meaning that we agree with it. We see something, we see someone having something, and then we have greed. And when we have greed, we still agree that the greed is good. Yeah. When I say that we agree that the greed is good, it doesn't mean that we sit down consciously think, greed is good. Yeah. Who do that? Anybody do that? Do we purposely sit down and think, greed is good? No, I don't think so. Yeah. When we think, oh, that is so nice. Oh, I wish I can have it. Good. It is not that you have to consciously say the word greed is good. But by having such thoughts and entertaining such thoughts, nourishing such thoughts, to the point what? To the point you have the thought, let me go and get it. And when we say get it, it is not that, oh, you see someone having iPhone and you go and buy iPhone, then that is covetousness. It is that you see that person's iPhone, you see that person's something, okay. And then you think, oh, how I wish I can have that. And then you think, he's not looking, maybe I can go and get it. To that point. That means having intent already. Yeah. So it's not just greed, but when greed develops, is nourished further and culminates in having that intent to possess that which belongs to others. So that is the first of the three mental states, yeah, mental deeds to avoid. The second one falls under anger, hatred. It's not uncommon for anger to be present in us. Is where it's anger to the point where what happened? We have intent to harm. Yeah? That we have the kind of intent to harm this person. That it's not sufficient that we are just upset. Usually, do we do that? In the teachings, we learn that anger is like fire. Anger is like a robber in our house. Yeah? Like a forest. Like a fire that burns up our house, burn up the forest, yeah, it destroys our marriage, yeah, and right here and now, it agitates our mind, clouds our judgment. But if you entertain it and let it blossom to the point where you are not satisfied just being upset with someone, to the point where you hope harm will come to that person, to the point where you decide that is not enough, it's not happening fast enough, you want to contribute to the success factor of that person's downfall. Oh, jialat. Even before you carry it out, just having that thought of wanting that person to have harm and so on, oh, that is very harmful. Yeah. So the last one is delusion. Delusion here come about. It is not, again, not uncommon that we have, you know, wrong perception. We have wrong ideas about things. Yeah, what we call ignorance, what we call delusion. Ignorance is not seeing reality. Delusion is not seeing, and then thinking we see, that means we see wrongly, and then still thinking that is correct. That's delusion. Yeah, but here, it's not just delusion. It is delusion to the point where our wrong view, our wrong thinking, we hold on to it very tightly. We hold on to it. Mien zhe ka ane ao wei, zhe tao jing nan bo, mai bi da ao wei. Mai ke ki ye. Sao zhe tao jing mien hing lui ye. Ao wei u ke ling doi hing lui. Bo mien hing lui, zhe zhe mien fu ye. Okay. So, delusion. We have to admit that sometimes we have some funny ideas, you know. Yeah, and only later we realize it's wrong. But even when we have funny ideas, we have wrong ideas, we don't always insist. Yeah, sometimes we do, isn't it? We insist to the point. To what point? To the point where we quarrel with people. Yeah, and then, but at some point, we may decide, no point insisting lah. Yeah, and then we just put it aside. In many cases, whatever wrong ideas we have don't translate to a change in our lifestyle. What do I mean by that? Like, for example, most of us live fairly wholesome life. We don't because of some warped ideas then go out of our way to harm people, to take advantage of people. We don't. So funny idea like this or like that, yeah, or we may speculate on a lot of things, but it doesn't translate to a transformation of our lifestyle that affects our body, speech and mind. You know what I mean? So that still doesn't constitute what we call wrong view. Wrong view, for something to become a view, it is where your mindset, the way you look at this world, is of a certain angle. Number one, it is not in line with reality. Number two, you hold on to it very tenaciously, yeah, that you refuse to change your mind. Number three, you hold on strong enough to the point where it changes the way you live your life. To that extent, then we call it wrong view. And if you have wrong view, your future life is quite confident. Most people don't know where they are going. But if you have wrong view, you can be quite sure where you are going. The Buddha said, either lower realms or in hell. This is, you can go and look for in the Pali Canon, search wrong view. But most people don't have enough confidence in your own view. So don't qualify wrong view. But don't think that is trivial. Because sometimes, subtly, again, not that you sit down and write a thesis. Yeah, who do that? Yeah, but it's just that when a certain mindset affects you so deeply, you hold on to it so strongly that it changes your way of life. That becomes subtly harmful. Slowly, you veer. Next thing you know, you are actually in the direction towards the lower realms. So now, are we talking about adopting wrong view? No. We are talking about observing and practicing the 10 wholesome deeds. That means not having wrong view, having right view instead. So if you were to do the opposite and have the 10 wholesome deeds, then we say that you are assured of rebirth in the human or higher states. Now, this is very interesting. I don't know whether you realize this. There's something very interesting here. And it is that by observing this, by practicing the 10 wholesome deeds, it is not that you get some passport, you know. It is not that you get some special exemption ticket. Yeah, you get an exemption card. Just flash, ta-da! I have the 10 wholesome deeds card. So get out of hell once. It is wholesome. You are not connecting with the conditions that result in the lower realm. Instead, you're connecting with the conditions that result in human rebirth and higher. So in Buddhism, those benefits is not a special privilege. It's a natural consequence. Let me explain to you by using a very worldly example. Like, if you are careful in handling your handphone, the benefit is that you don't break your phone. Agree? Say yes.
Yes.
Unless someone snatch your phone and smash it, that's a different thing. Oh, did I speak your mind? So, it is not that, oh, because you're careful, so you're part of a special privileged group. Yeah, and then your handphone somehow don't break, isn't it? It's common sense that if you're careful, then you don't drop your phone, then your phone don't break, ma. Yeah? Or you can look at it this way, that observing this is like putting a protective layer, yeah, of tempered glass. So even when you drop it, yeah, the protection is there. Yeah? But more correctly, you are not doing things that results in the rebirth in the lower realms. So this part is what we usually think about in terms of the why observe precepts. Why observe precepts? Because you avoid painful rebirth. But this is still not the focus today. Because this is just one part of the why. This is a part where you get the benefit. Today, we want to focus a bit more on other people. Why should we observe precepts? Not just because you get some benefit, but out of love, metta, and compassion. Yeah. Are you all familiar with love? Say yes.
Yes,
everybody know love. Yeah, small kids now also know love. When I was in some monastery, sometimes the small kids are very cute. In one monastery, there was a small boy. Yeah. Luckily, it's a boy. The boy, every time when I was preparing for the parents' class, whenever he see me, he'll run at me and give me a hug. And I love you, Sifu. Yeah. Then there's actually another mother with the small kid. And then one day the mother worked in the monastery at the library, and then brought the, you know, once in a while will bring the small girl to come and see me. At that point in time, I think she was barely P1. And then suddenly one day when she came over, then she looked at me, and then she said, "Shifu, I love you." I was like, and then the mother looked at me, I looked at the mother, like, you see, when I was that age, I have no idea what love is. And I have no idea, in fact, I don't think I even know this word. You know, when I was a kid, all the movies that has love is about romantic love. Yeah, and whenever there's romantic love, whatever, right? Yeah, our parents will cover our eyes, cannot see. So no idea what love is, you know. Yeah. But actually love has a lot of connotation. Yeah. Love, rightly speaking, the way it's often used in society is about amorous relation. Yeah. But if you think about it, it extends beyond that. There's other kind of love, isn't it? Love of parents to one's child. Yeah? Do you all have love from your parents? Say yes.
Yes.
I hope, huh? Oh, someone say no. Ash, do you say no?
No.
No, huh? Oh. Who say no? Oh, the other boy say no. You don't have love from your mommy, huh? Oh, very good. Luckily, you know why? You know why it's lucky that you didn't get love? Because look at you. Without love, you still grow up. If you have love, you become even bigger, you know? Huh? She loved you? She did, huh? So she must be lying. My mother never tell me that she loved me also. But I know she loved me. We have to examine further to know. What does it mean when someone say that they love you? Yeah? What does that mean? When we think that someone loves us, what does it mean? In Buddhism, the equivalent is actually metta. But usually when we use the word love, like between a boy and girl or boy-boy, nowadays quite common, sometimes boy-boy, sometimes boy-girl, or sometimes girl-girl, I don't know. I'm not encouraging, I'm not suppressing. It's people's choice. I mean, just don't come and tell me. Those kind of love is attachment love. You know what I'm saying? Those there's one type which is with attachment. That is the attachment love. Then there's another kind of love that has lesser attachment love. Do you think parental love has attachment? Actually also have attachment love. Yeah? But I say it's lesser. Why? For example, between couples, yeah? You love me, I love you. Okay? Okay or not? Okay. But I love you, you go and love someone, not okay. Correct or not? That is the attachment love. Very strong attachment love. Parents love for child have attachment? Yes. But in due time, when your child go and love somebody else, do we get angry? I hope not. Sometimes it happens, you know. Yeah, sometimes it happens, you know. Then you have a lot of problems with the in-laws. Yeah. People may not be consciously doing it. And they may not even be conscious of it. They don't understand how they really feel, you know. I'm not saying that the parents are in love with the child. I'm saying that it is the attachment part of that care, that love, that possessive that can care for you. Your girlfriend cannot care for you. Your boyfriend cannot care for you. Yeah, you get married, you're legally married, but you cannot care for my daughter so much. Only I can care. You cannot care for your husband so much. Only I can care. This one is my son first. Since birth is my son. Only now then is your husband. So big deal. Son more important. That is attachment love. But most fortunately for us, most parents are not like that. When we encounter families where the parents are like that, sometimes we may feel quite, ayo. But if you think about it, we should have compassion for them. Because they are suffering, you know. They are suffering. By right, love is supposed to give happiness to the giver and the recipient. It's supposed to produce happiness. Yeah. And so in Buddhism, metta. Metta has the quality of giving happiness. 慈能娱乐. 慈 is metta. Yeah, 慈悲慈悲慈能娱乐. Yeah, so love should have the quality of giving happiness. So anytime when you feel you love someone, but that love is causing suffering, not giving happiness, maybe, I don't say you're wrong, but maybe it's time to do a recheck. Check your love. Examine your love. We don't say that that's not love. It's also love, but it's tainted love. Tainted. You know what is tainted? It means there's some dirt inside. Like, if your cup, you put water inside, you drink, nice. But now, if you put some dirt, or let's say not that you put some dirt, okay? Previously, you drink coffee. Then after that, you wash the mug, but you didn't wash properly. Then you pour clear water. What happened? What do you get? Do you get coffee? What do you get? Water? You get longgang zui. So I choose this time round, I choose coffee. I didn't choose, you know, I always use pang sai. I didn't use that. I choose coffee for a reason. Because coffee by itself, no problem, you know. Isn't it? Is there a problem with coffee? No problem. But when you finish drinking coffee, then you must clean it up. Then you can drink the next drink. If you have a bit of coffee, then you have water, then it becomes tainted. The water is tainted. Likewise, if you try to make tea, of course, we Chinese are very smart. We have yuan yang. But only yuan yang is yuan yang only if you decided to have yuan yang. If it was not your intention, then what happened? Then it becomes tainted tea or coffee for that matter. It's impure. Then is it nice? Not so nice. So similarly, when we love someone, it's supposed to be with care, supposed to give happiness. Yeah. So when it gives you more than happiness, give you trouble, give you worry, give you anxiety, give you fear, then you should check. Maybe it's a bit tainted. I don't say it's a lot, but at least maybe it's a bit tainted. Then you should double check. What is going on? You have the answer, because you are the one who give it, ma. Come from you, ma. Or sometimes maybe you are the recipient. If you are the recipient, then don't have to get angry with the other person also. You should have compassion, because the person is maybe not even aware, you know. So the next one is compassion. So 慈悲, compassion is 悲, 悲能拔苦. So compassion has the quality of removing suffering, to remove suffering from others. So today we talk about love, metta, and compassion. In a way, love and metta is one thing. Okay, so love and compassion. Compassion in Pali is karuna. Karuna. So how is this connected to precepts? So when we observe precepts, we should be doing it without attachment. We should be doing it without taints. In fact, if you have taints and attachment, you cannot observe the precepts well. In fact, taints and attachment can cause you to break precepts. Now instead, we try to develop the pure qualities of love and compassion for others. And this becomes the reason why we observe precepts. Why? Because you love others, you hope to give them happiness. If you want to give them happiness, you cannot be taking things from them. Yeah? If you want them to be happy, you want to remove their suffering, how can you still be having thoughts of harming them, not to mention killing them? Yeah? Have you ever seen someone who is happy when you threaten their life? Or you threaten to spank them or to hit them? I mean, don't tell me the 打是情骂是爱. When your parents cane you, do we feel happy? Are we excited? Yay! Mommy is going to cane me. Huh? Does it ever happen? Yeah? Your daddy look at you and say, why are you so happy? You looking so happy today? Because mommy going to cane me. Huh? I hope not. If ever that happens, your child needs some help. Yeah, we need to arrange for counseling, okay? And all views, different values, we all have different likes and dislikes, but we all have one common thing. In a way, two. We seek happiness, we fear suffering. We seek pleasure, we shun away from pain. So if we were to say observe precepts, initially we may observe the precepts because after learning about the teachings, we accept the teachings. Accept what teachings? Accept the teachings that harming others results in painful results. Yeah. Painful rebirth. Yeah. And in here and now produces stress. We think about it, yeah, makes sense. So we observe the precepts. Yeah. So then 持, yeah, 受戒, yeah, we accept the precepts and then we observe it. But later on, as we learn more teachings, then we find more reasons. This is a second layer of reasons. That for others' welfare and benefit, not for just for ourselves, but for others. That we care for others enough that we say, even when this person make me very upset, feel like, but we say, between upset over, this person is important enough, that I love this person enough, I care for this person enough, that I don't harm this person, I don't abuse this person. Make sense? So precepts in this way is built on top of the basis of love and compassion. So when we observe the precepts, it's no longer about restriction. It's about an expression. Expression of what? Of our love and compassion for others. It becomes an active process, not a passive one, not a passive restriction. No. It's an active process of seeking the welfare of others. Yeah. Then it becomes a very wholesome, positive way of life. I've seen some years back, some Buddhist group, they organized a very interesting ceremony. A group of lay Buddhists, I think they were getting married, some of them were renewing their vows, and in addition to their wedding vows, they recited the five precepts. You know? Have you all seen it before? Some years back. I don't know why it didn't continue. It was like a flash in the pan. But I think it is a very beautiful practice. You think about it, how many of you have recited the wedding vows before? What does it say? Cannot remember. Hey, vow leh. Lifelong one. Not just that day, you know.
Just remember, I do.
I do. Oh, yeah. You only have to say the I do part, right? The solemnizer must, you know. So if you watch enough movie, then you will remember, do you so-and-so take this person as your wife, yeah, for better or worse, through thick and thin, in sickness and in health, until whatever. Until death do you part. Yeah. Or divorce do you part. Amitofo. Until someone can separate you apart. So imagine, on top of that, you recite to one another, I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing you. Now, sounds quite ridiculous, right? But if you think about it, it happens, you know. It's not so ridiculous. You look at those news. Love is one of the key factors for murder, you know. Yeah, love is one of the key driver for a lot of crime. And not just killing, stealing. A lot of crime. Yeah. So while when I put it that way, imagine then hold the hand, then the solemnizer say, do you take up the training rule to not kill her? Then goes like, what? Yeah, can you imagine that? Yeah, we should ask some of the solemnizers to say that. Do you take her as your legally wedded wife and undertake the training rule not to kill her? You think about it. What are the implications of it? Because on the wedding day, nobody think about killing each other. But wedding is not just about the wedding day, you know. Wedding is also about all the days and the nights where you all agree, disagree, where each day your spouse don't wash the dishes and then you pick take. And then every time you have to buy the milk powder, then you all come up with a schedule, and somehow when it's your turn, you're like, how come always like that? And you may think, Sifu come up with, Sifu, you have no experience, come up with this kind of nonsense. This is an actual case. I didn't come up with this. Actual case. This couple, one of the things that was raised up, Sifu, you know, the kids need milk powder, right? Every time it's me who checked, and then I find that there's not enough milk powder, and then I have to go and buy. He was the last person who made the milk. How come he cannot? Why? Yeah, this is the kind of thing that come up, you know. Yeah. To what point? To the point where one day the wife take a knife. Yeah, no stabbing involved. But so angry that take the knife and threaten each other, no? You'd be surprised, no? Yeah. when we observe the precepts, the fact that we sit down and we say, hey, I want to, we are already off the skew, you know. We are already the outlier in a way. Yeah, because most people just get on with their life. But you never know what is your tipping point. It's just like getting drunk. I mean, there are people who go to drink and with the aim to get drunk. But most people who become drunk never plan to get drunk, you know. And most people who get drunk and then get into a fight or drive and then kill someone, and I'm not talking about dead drunk driving, no. Usually dead drunk cannot drive. It's the somewhat drunk. That's the more dangerous one, you know. Because the dead drunk cannot even open the car door. Quick, 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 quick. Hey, how many times? Quick, 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 quick. Cannot. And those who get into that trouble, get into an accident, and then kill someone, maim someone, harm someone. I don't think they planned that. Now, I'm not ruling out those who wake up one day and say, today I'm going to get drunk, and then go and do something stupid, and then blame it on alcohol. Maybe there are people who are like that. Today, we're not talking about these people. Because these people, they already have warp ideas already. The precepts, if precepts mean anything to them, they wouldn't be having this thought, isn't it? Yeah. So this is not about them. It's about those of us who don't plan to harm people. Just now I mentioned, we don't wake up and say, oh, okay. Today, what is today's date? 10, 14th of November is a good day to harm. Yeah, we don't plan that. But it still happened more. So this practice is to familiarize ourselves with the wholesome states of mind so that we have good reasons, strong reasons, to the point where even people around us or even strangers that we have not met before yet. Now, of course, that's a redundant statement. Stranger means you have not met before. That's still not met before yet. Sometimes I see stupid things like that. It is to make that commitment that regardless of the condition, that we will not harm others in all the various ways. But to do that, we need to familiarize ourselves with these mental states until it becomes second nature. And when it does become second nature, then a very beautiful thing happened. People around you would sense a change. Now, if before that, occasionally you still have that kind of outburst, you know, but that will change. And they will start to feel safe with you. They will feel, you develop a deeper level of trust. A trust that they can trust you with their life, with their physical well-being. That they feel comfortable to disagree with you when they really disagree with you. Imagine you try this, and anytime someone disagrees with you, you shout at them. Every time someone disagrees with you, you slap them. See who dare to disagree with you. Soon, everybody around you, sure. Yeah. Best idea so far. Nobody is going to disagree with you. If you are boss in a company, people disagree with you, don't fire them. Soon, all you have left are all the yes men. You know what I'm saying? But if you do this practice, you don't have to tell them. You don't have to go to the office and say, hey, but guys, by the way, I observed the five precepts now. That day, I heard Venerable, I decided I'll have love and compassion for all of you. No, you don't have to tell them. In fact, if you tell them, they'll be like, okay, sure. Yeah. They'll be wondering what happened to you. HR will come and look for you. But if you were to do that, not instantly, but over time. Yeah, over time, subtle changes. They start to learn that they can trust you. Voicing their dissent is just one benefit. It's just part of it. But they can trust themselves with you. They can trust their things with you. They can welcome you into their life. Now, if we flip it around, we have to give people a chance also. Don't hold this as the high standard to, on people around you. Then you're going to tell your family members, hey, Shifu say we must practice this. Or, how come you're still like this? How come? We are all on our path towards liberation. Yeah, on different part of the stage. Sometimes we may falter. Sometimes we do it well. Some days maybe, you know, our cognitive load is a bit off. Then maybe, although we learn this, we practice this, but some days we don't feel like loving more. Do you some days don't feel like loving people? Yeah, you don't have a very loving feeling. Yeah, that everything you look at, big tick, all this idiots. You feel like, yeah, you feel like. Have you ever watched Lion King? The first Lion King, there's this two lion, the big lion. Yeah, not the one that died, the one, the uncle, it's called Scar. There was one scene. His minions are the hyenas, right? And then the hyenas always stupid one. And then he's like, I'm surrounded by idiots. Yeah. Some days you will feel like that, isn't it? Yeah. And then you feel like, all these people. Yeah, some days it's like that. And likewise, some days it's like that for people. Yeah. So when we practice love, metta, you know, compassion and so on, we should also not just practice and then expect people to be like that, but also have compassion for people in the form of patience towards others, to give people a chance to develop that. Nurture them, nudge them slowly. Easier said than done. You all must be thinking, yeah lah, Sifu, you sit down there and talk only. you don't have children to face lah. Yeah, lor, very easy one. Why don't you all join me? try. So now you have one more reason to practice precepts. One more reason. And I will tell you the side benefit of this. You become a happier person. You become a happier person. But again, as we have patience for others, have patience towards yourself also. When we say have compassion, not just for others, for yourself also. Because sometimes you try, then you one time, you know, and then after that you feel like, oh yeah, so cool. You know, the worst thing is when you one time you blow up, then sometimes, unfortunately, people around us may not be so supportive. They may even pass remarks like, attend SGC like that one. I thought you take refuge already. Like that one. When people say that, how do we feel? We feel pek-tik, isn't it? Even more pek-tik. Already pek-tik, that person still. And then we may feel like, okay lor, I don't practice one. What you want? We may just wish to just give up. Don't give up. Whatever they say, remember. Remember this beautiful woman in front of me. Can you all see this beautiful woman with his long hair? Can you all see him with the beautiful long hair? Turn around, let them see your... You see? When I say that he is a beautiful girl with a beautiful long hair, does it make him into a beautiful girl with beautiful long hair? No, right? So when people, you know, when there's all this and then people say, you like that one, what? Did anything change? Remember, you're not that beautiful. Okay, some of you may be thinking, Zhu, I'm a beautiful. whatever people say is theirs. Don't go and hope. Understand? Whatever people say is from them. If you don't receive, it's still theirs, none of your business. So when people say such things, tell them, give me some time. Yeah. But sometimes people will have follow up, no? Huh? You Buddhist, Buddhist like that one, right? That's why Buddhists are very afraid of telling people that they are Buddhists. Next time when people criticize you in this way, tell you, huh? Buddhists get angry one, huh? Buddhists like that one, they will say, you're not then? Are then? And then they may say, but you mean Buddhists like that, then Buddha leh? They will tell them, that's why I'm not called Buddha ma, I'm called Buddhist ma. Buddhists are the disciple ma, not quite there yet ma. When I'm there, I'll be Buddha, you bow down already. That's why I'm called Buddhist ma. Buddhist is like that one, what do you expect? Correct or not? Like primary school kid, not all kids are all the straight A's, ma. P1, how to have straight A's? Ah. So have patience to yourself, for yourself. And even when people pass such remarks, don't let it so easily affect you. Don't try to live up to some faraway target that you're not there yet. And let that become a source of your this. With the practice of the precepts, the practice of love and compassion, may it bring wealth and people around you, and may it lay the conditions, lay the foundations for the practice of the higher order of samadhi and panya. I'd like to extend dedication to Tracy's brother and also her husband. May they be well and happy. I'd like to also extend dedication to Hong Kong. May there be peace in Hong Kong. Not just the protesters, but also the police. Not just the people, but the administration. May they find a peaceful resolution. Yuan Xiao San Zhang Zhu Fan Nao.
Yuan Xiao San Zhang Zhu Fan Nao.
Yuan De Zhi Hui Zhen Ming Liao.
Yuan De Zhi Hui Zhen Ming Liao.
Pu Yuan Zui Zhang Xi Xiao Chu. Shi Shi Chang Xing Pu Sa Dao.
Shi Shi Chang Xing Pu Sa Dao.
Amitabha Phật.
Amitabha
Phật. Qi Li.